And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and to listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name's Chris. I'm going to be your host today as we talk about the 1994 action movie.
Immortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
I was waiting for everybody to like do it once.
I already did it like five times up until then.
I'm back. Showtime.
Roddy Piper. Sonny Chiba. Immortal Kombat.
Today I'm joined by Scott, AJ, Aaron, Todd, and Rebecca. What's happening? What's going on? What's going down?
Awesome.
So much kung fu, man.
Oof. Fighting. Oof.
We watched Immortal Kombat, a movie I had never heard of before. I don't know about you guys.
Nope,
no, I had not.
Never.
And I feel like my life is a little bit better now, having seen this movie.
Really?
Nah,
that's
really.
Great.
It's still pretty bad. It's pretty terrible.
That's pretty
sweet.
So, who wants to give me a plot synopsis for Immortal Kombat?
It's a trap, guys. It's a trap.
Stay out of that one.
It's a trap.
Who wants to step to the plate?
I like the IMDb synopsis.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like a sentence.
Single sentence.
Single sentence. So nobody can do it.
I want to hear the IMDb.
Rebecca, can you give us the IMDb breakdown of the plot?
Sure. Roddy Piper and Sonny Chiba battle an army of immortal ninja warriors.
It's not done. Accurate. Not accurate at all.
Pretty much sums it up.
Army? I guess.
There was like at least six of them.
There was like, only two of them were
they're all rejected.
There was like two. I also read in other plot synopsises where they said that they're like in a Mortal Kombat-esque arena battle, which didn't really occur either.
No, the only thing is like that little circle that they stand
the very
around.
Beginning. So, okay. Roddy Piper's a cop, an American cop, and he has a partner who is like a Japanese samurai cop as well.
Japanese samurai cop.
Well, he's definitely a samurai. He has a whole samurai
dojo
in his basement.
Yeah. He's a ninja.
There were two of them in the beginning too. It wasn't just him. There was the other guy too.
Well,
and there was the girl too.
Oh man.
All right, okay. So well, we're forgetting crowd. All. None of that stuff matters.
The nameless girl.
Just focus on. You have Roddy Piper, main character, American cop, his partner, Japanese samurai dude. They go to a party undercover and somehow end up in a fighting battle ring out back because that's what rich people do.
Well,
they pay to watch poor people fight.
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
Then Roddy goes on vacation to hunt down one of the people who was at this fight. He gets mixed up with this company that creates this drug that after these warriors fight, and they realize that this is a good warrior. They use this drug to bring him back as immortal warriors. And that's all I got. I don't.
And hijinks ensue.
There's another woman introduced who is a reporter that kind of mixes up with Roddy. Things get a little nasty between them in a good way. And
what's her name?
They dance in the ocean.
Karen with a K.
The plot is very convoluted, confusing. I'm not sure any of it really matters.
Nah, the only point of it that really matters is the Immortal Warriors point, I think.
Yeah, so that is important. Yeah. Immortal Warriors.
The good guy, Rowdy Roddy, a ninja cop. Bad guy, Asian Immortal Warrior, and long-haired Immortal Warrior.
Yeah, Bret Michaels, yeah. Singer
Bret
of Poison.
Bret Michaels, yeah.
All right, so I'm sorry if that's confusing. Scott, what did you think of Immortal Kombat?
I thought it had great fight scenes, catchy tunes.
Oh, man.
But, I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it was enjoyable, but I don't think I'd watch it again. It was,
Do you not recall a scene where Roddy Piper climbs over a barbed wire fence?
That was painful.
A five-minute scene.
It was hilarious.
And he kept making jokes about needing to visit his rabbi afterwards. It was bad.
Yeah, it's more like rubbing his crotch on barbed wire than actually climbing over anything.
You think that was just one take and they went with it? Like, that's what really happened? And they just used
yeah,
it?
Yeah, actually got stuck up there.
My pants are stuck.
There were a couple scenes in the movie that felt like that. Like, one take, and they're like, nah, we could use it.
AJ, what'd you think?
I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I liked the buddy thing. The thing that really got me about this was it was like, it had very strong parallels with Big Trouble in Little China. Like, the character Roddy plays is like the exact same character Kurt Russell plays in that movie, and there's a lot of the same kind of shenanigans going on.
It's kind of got like that East meets West.
It does, but there were like even scenes that were like exactly the same. Like they're drinking like the special magic power to go to the fight before they fight, and then that guy's throwing like those magical bombs. Mr. Miyagi throws magical bombs at the end of the movie. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was exactly the same to me. It's crazy. Even the music.
I don't know. I feel like Big Trouble in Little China is more fantasy, though.
Yeah, there's definitely a heavier magic influence in that one.
Yeah.
But it did have a white guy and an Asian guy.
I mean, they would be sitting down and having even conversation scenes, and it was like a straight rip out of that movie, like that scene. Like, it's
yeah,
crazy.
I'll give you, like, Roddy was very bumbling, like Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, what'd you think?
Well, I have this formula. If a movie has a vast amount of punching and kicking, my need for a plot goes down significantly. So I found this very entertaining because I like old kung fu movies and stuff like that. Yeah, I think it was fun.
Todd?
I would have been hard pressed before this movie to tell you that there's possible for a movie to have like too much fights. But I think there might have been too many fights. I think
tough, like, crowd.
I'm not saying surprised. I didn't like it.
There were four fight scenes in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not saying I didn't like it.
Awesome.
I know. I'm not really complaining. Like, it was a lot of fights and very little plot, and I'm following the same formula Aaron is. I don't know why I didn't like it, but I just didn't like it as much. I did like the music, though. The music was cool. Somebody mentioned that. I would agree with that point. It had cool soundtrack.
Very little plot, though? You think it had very little plot?
I think it had very little plot.
Maybe it was little, but to me, it was a long movie, and it was confusing. Like, I couldn't even keep the plot straight.
This is the problem. That's the problem, though, I think. Normally, if it's more action, you don't need as much plot, but it was like an hour and 45 minutes, and it had so little plot that I kept saying to myself, Jesus, another fight scene, and like, nothing to push the plot forward. So, I don't know. It just got a little boring from that perspective.
Mm. Rebecca?
I liked it. Like everyone else said, I liked the fights a lot. I thought they were really well done, well choreographed. I liked the use of the campy one-liners. There were quite a few pretty funny little quotes in there. The plot, it was convoluted, but I didn't really mind it. So I liked it overall.
Yeah, I too enjoyed it quite a bit. Like I said, I didn't know what was going on, but to me it didn't really matter because it was incredibly entertaining. Roddy, this was probably one of my favorite movies with him in it that we've watched so far, because he's so ridiculous in this movie. He's goofy, but then his fight scenes are still pretty good. And his partner, JJ, like, was clearly you know, a trained martial artist, because he was doing these crazy stunts and stuff.
Oh, his partner was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was a very good choice, actually.
And I liked the relationship those two had, and I thought they played off each other pretty well. I just wish they started out with those two characters being together, but then, like, for half of the movie, they were apart until the very end again.
Yeah.
I wish they were together the whole time, because I thought that was pretty funny for the most part. Like, whenever Roddy was in a fight with anybody, he's constantly talking while he's punching. Like, he's clearly not saying anything. They, like, ADR'd him saying, like, these weird quips and stuff the whole time. It's like, what's going on? I could use some Gatorade.
He would get so angry.
I have a... what was the point of the whole father-daughter thing with Asian cop?
Yes, that was, like, the subplot for his character.
It added nothing.
It was very forced.
I don't know. It went on for a while, too. Like, it was, like, 30 minutes of the movie was dedicated to this whole relationship and stuff. It felt
like this was, like, a sequel. And they explored that more in the first one, and this was kind of wrapping it up. Did it feel that
so
way?
Yeah. You know what it felt like to me? Like, it was, like, I felt like the edit for the whole thing was weird. Like, how they cut it into the movie and how long it was for that period of time. Like, and then there was no driving force to bring it back into the movie later. Like,
can you explain that a little bit? Like, we're talking about JJ, Roddy's partner in this movie. He's an older guy, and he has a 20-year-old daughter or something.
Yeah, when she first came on screen and you realized it was her daughter, everyone here pretty said, well, she must be adopted.
Because she's a white girl.
Yes, we'll just say that. And,
is that racist? Are you not allowed to say that?
I
don't know.
What else would you say to describe this relationship?
I don't know. She's a young Caucasian woman.
Yes.
She was of a different nationality.
There
than
we go.
He was.
It's a non-traditional family.
But what? Eventually, it's revealed that, like, he killed her mom
by mistake.
By accident.
Yeah.
Because he was just throwing so many ninja stars so fast. All the time.
He shot her, and that's why he stopped using a gun. That's why he switched over to martial arts.
I like how the daughter held on to that gun somehow the whole time, and then gave it back to him later. What
she
was
had no
that?
Idea what it was. Yeah.
Right? But then she gave it to him. It was like, it's okay, you can use this gun that you killed my mom with. That's no big deal.
I forgive you.
So weird.
Did that come into play ever then in the movie?
No.
He used the gun.
Yes.
Yeah,
used it to shoot the long-haired guy, Jesus, but it didn't matter because he was immortal.
Oh,
he came back to life anyway.
I thought they were going to, like, recreate that scene, but they just kind of, like, blew through it.
During the very opening of the movie, you have Meg Foster, who, that's the actress's name. She's in They Live. But she is, like, this femme fatale evil villain in this movie. But it opens with her in bed with one of the warriors. And she tells him to leave, and he sneaks out the window, and he gets killed and turned into this immortal warrior. But I have a question.
Wait. Yeah, that scene was weird. What's your question?
Was.
Why is she sleeping with all these warriors? Because
well, did you see them? They're all ripped in man buns, man.
Yeah, but she even said she like the guy came in later and she said, oh, he was so ugly. And she's like, when she closes her eyes, all men are the same.
She just says that because she's married to that guy that came in.
I'm confused. I thought that was Sonny and he was having a bad dream or something.
Who's Sonny?
Who the fuck is Sonny?
Yeah, who's that?
JJ guy. Oh. What's his name?
Well, JJ had Sonny like JJ. Had like this whenever he'd go into his little gym there at the Y.
He had vision quests, AJ. You've never had a vision quest?
I guess not.
I have them often when I'm on the toilet. What?
Is that where you meditate?
Out, man.
You break out your sword and you start flailing it around in the bathroom?
Start slicing up candles?
Yeah, is that what you do when you're on the toilet?
No, Aaron, he was not JJ. He was one of the main villains, the Asian ripped guy.
Side note, he reminded me of Tonka from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, man.
He had the headband and everything.
I don't remember that game.
I was really hoping it was going to end up being JJ's son, and there's going to be some sick twist there, but that never happened.
Why? Because they're two Asian guys? Is that why, AJ?
That's so racist.
Only two Asian guys in the movie. They must be related, right?
Right. Oh, my God.
You're the one who said it.
Well, no, there's a moment where they're on the waterfall, and he was about to kick them off, and they paused, and they looked at each other, and I was like, oh, man, something's going on here. Like, it was kind of like a lead-in there.
And you would have like, no.
I was waiting for that moment, because it felt like there was going to be a moment. You know, but it didn't happen.
How did he in that scene? He
jumped out of the water.
He has this awesome belt.
Set up the scene. Wait, set up the scene first.
This scene's amazing.
So JJ and Roddy are trying to jump off this waterfall, but Roddy's too afraid, and JJ's planning on basically like pushing him off. But in the meantime, this other guy sneaks up and kicks Roddy off the freaking waterfall.
That was a huge waterfall.
So JJ and his cousin reunite with a glance, and then JJ pulls off his belt and has a blade on it. It's really awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
Hitting the guy. Yeah. But he disappears, and in this 6 inches of water, he somehow submerges his entire body, stabs the guy in the foot, and then jumps out of the water like 8 feet in the air.
That was amazing.
And kicks him off the waterfall. It was so fucking amazing.
I know. This whole movie was amazing.
I wish I knew martial arts, man. Ninjas are so cool.
There were some great scenes where he would jump up in the air, clearly on a trampoline or something. It was like the coolest karate kicks ever happening.
He's a ninja.
Yo, Chris, I went to ninja class. You remember? Like 5 times. I threw up all 5 times.
What? Todd went once. Okay, let me lay this out. Todd went to karate class once, and he bought the kimono and everything. Came back home, and he threw up all over it. All right,
You don't even know the whole story.
Well, hold on, let me get it from my
perspective. I didn't even come home.
And then our friend Josh wanted to dress up or something for Halloween, and Todd offered him his kimono that he never washed.
This is great.
No.
Is that about right, Todd?
That's almost right, except for I didn't have to come home to throw up. I threw up there.
Is that because like it was so intense, or you just weren't feeling good?
And I did wash it, but like it's a puke stain, man, and it's like a pure white ghee, it's not going to just come off.
Todd, I understand you're going to karate, but that doesn't mean you have to eat a whole bunch of Chinese food before.
it wasn't his fault. The guy that he was fighting with was massive.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really? Unless you would like to hear the real story, it wasn't karate. It was jujitsu, and it was a ghee, and the guy I was fighting was 385 pounds.
Oh, my God.
So it didn't matter what I ate that night. I was getting laid on by a 385-pound dude. Oh, you would throw up, too.
Yeah. Wow. Wait, so was it like you were both brand new to jujitsu?
No, but I was brand new, and we were the two biggest guys. It went right from like 240 to 380. So,
and they made roll with him.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
And you just laid
there.
And
never went back.
You just like curl up in the fetal position and took a beating.
Yes.
It would be like no. I'd be like no. I'm not doing. Do you have a pillow? I need practice first or something.
The weird thing is, it didn't feel bad when I was rolling around. But it was like afterwards, I was like, I don't feel so good. And then instantly, it was just like puke everywhere.
So this is your first class, and I guess they put you in sparring partners on the first class?
Yep.
That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
That's what's great about jiu-jitsu. You could practice at 100%, and you're not going to break anyone. Hmm. That's what it's billed as.
You'll just make them throw up.
You'll just make them throw up everywhere. Yeah,
yeah. I would question that. I feel like maybe you broke a little bit.
Yeah, just for the happy ending for that whole story, I actually have seen pictures of that kid since then, and he lost like 150 pounds just doing that.
Yeah,
so good for him.
Damn,
that's awesome.
You should go back and now you could sit on him. Time for your revenge.
Get your revenge, Todd.
Speaking of though, rolling around, I feel like Roddy, when he's fighting people in this movie, you know when you get really drunk and you're just like banging into stuff?
Yeah,
that's knocking
like
doors
style.
Down and shit. That's like Roddy's fighting style. Like he doesn't feel pain. He just constantly is just like giving it You know what I mean? That's what he looks like. Yeah, it's like, you've never like ran into a door or
it's
anything.
Like destroying his body.
Yeah,
did you ever take out
drunk.
A door, Chris?
Yeah, Chris. Did you ever take out a door? What?
No, I didn't. Josh did, and it fell on my head. And I was really drunk, so I did not feel it. I did give myself black eyes by ramming my head repeatedly into a wall, apparently.
All right. Back to the movie.
Well, we'll see you next week.
I think we've got AA as a sponsor now.
Oh, no, I'm fine right now. I'm drinking
H2O. You play the AA jingle?
One of my favorite scenes in this movie is when they're on the island and he's with Meg and they kind of fall off. She follows him off the tour that she's going on, like around the island.
The reporter lady.
Yeah. And they run into those security guards and Roddy ends up killing them. Like he breaks their necks. They're just security guards.
It was so slapstick before that almost too, because he like untucks his shirt and he comes around and he's like, "Well, gee golly, honey, you fell off the tour." Dude, like his whole like slapstick comedy, "Don't take my camera, fellas." And then he straight up murders him.
It's crazy.
Straight up murders.
This is like a time when you were allowed to be casually racist. Everyone you met you assaulted and murder was just okay.
This
you
is
had to
America.
Be white, but that's how it was, yeah.
I kind of like the assault thing, though. That's kind of great.
Dude.
Just walk around and assault people. Like,
there's a point on like where he's on this boat with a bunch of tourists and stuff, and the guy's hitting on that reporter lady, and he just like takes the guy and bangs his head into a metal pole.
He totally breaks his nose, yeah.
Dude, yeah, and what's the guy
into
say?
Oblivion.
The guy's like, "Oh, shucks, buddy, I didn't know it was your wife." Like, the guy's not angry at all that he just got his face broken on a pole.
Well, he did kind of ask for it. He was being a little
handsy.
Oh, he was being handsy? I didn't see that. I thought he was just saying weird crap.
And it led into
he started touching her then.
Ah, okay, then you're allowed to assault somebody if you're touched.
It led into that amazing photo sequence montage, which was fantastic, where he's taking all these tourist photos of, like, the captain and everyone on the boat. And then the best part is, later in the movie, these ninjas come to steal the film from Meg's camera, and he switches it with that film. From whatever camera, and they're like staring at his tour photos later. It's so funny.
That was good.
It's great.
That was the thing with this movie, though. It was like,
it's pretty funny at times.
Sometimes it was goofy and funny like that. Mm-hmm. Other times it was like hardcore action, and then sometimes it was like oddly serious.
Yeah.
But it didn't flow at all. It was just like, well, this is what the scene is, I guess.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm. And the plot, or I guess the storytelling, was kind of unconventional. Because it didn't feel like it climaxed or anything. It just kind of went from...
Yeah, it just kind of played out.
It just tapered into each scene.
I thought his relationship with Karen with a K turned around quite quickly, too.
Well, she fell for him. Oh, my God.
Who wouldn't fall for Roddy?
She's mad at him on the boat. Mm-hmm. She was mad when they accidentally got thrown into the same hotel room.
Well, and she was showering and he was eating her food.
No, I get it. But like 2 seconds.
Todd, what? How would you react if you were showering and you walked out of the shower and some beautiful woman was in your hotel room eating her food?
Without a shirt on.
Without a shirt on, Todd. How would you react?
I feel like this is a trick question.
It probably has to be a
no,
man.
No, pretend your wife is not here.
I feel like
how would you react? Go ahead, Todd.
He's never going to answer this truly.
I know. Nobody's going to answer it.
No, I understand that she's angry then, but like the very next morning, she's does one of those like, gee golly, smiles, and like it's all turned around, and now they're all buddy-buddy, and... they're going on tours and saving the world.
Well, that was after the breakfast connection. Because he stole her Jeep, too. Yeah, that's what she was really angry about. And then at breakfast, they were all buddy-buddy.
That's what watermelon does, I'm telling you. Watermelon could save the world. She was eating a whole watermelon for breakfast, and she's just happy again.
Who does
and drinking
that?
Coffee.
She was eating it with a fork
and a knife.
And
fork.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
How do you eat watermelon, you heathen?
With a spoon.
I smash it with a sledgehammer.
Oh, I know how you eat it, guys.
Gallagher style.
You don't fucking eat it.
Why not?
What?
Because it tastes like water.
Watermelon.
Oh,
and
watermelon's great.
If it has seeds in it, oh, God, it's the worst.
That's the best.
So hydrating.
Just Just eat the seeds. What's the big deal?
No, then watermelons will be growing out of your butt. I know. It's basic science there, Todd.
You go to any grocery store, you're going to get a watermelon. They most likely don't have seeds in them at this point. They're all genetically altered, so they don't. It's not even like
Which is even better anymore.
One, how much do you think she paid for that watermelon for breakfast? And well, can, two, can you order just a watermelon for breakfast?
You got to remember, this isn't in the future. So there's just the past. Watermelons are plentiful. It's not like just one apple.
Oh, yes, true. I'm used to all these post-apocalyptic.
This is actually slightly in the past.
This wasn't the $5,000 apple.
18 credits. That's how much that costs. 18 credits.
18 credits. You'd be so unfulfilled, like just eating watermelon, because it's just basically water. Yeah, it's not like you're having a meal. Like halfway through the day, she's going to be burned out.
Although on her tour. It looked like that watermelon was on a separate plate, and that plate was sitting on top of another plate, as in to perhaps say that maybe she ate a lunch and the watermelon was a dessert.
Or how about this?
Theories?
Before
theories?
She got
about
there,
theory, huh?
Before she even sat down, Roddy Piper went over there and ate it.
Oh my God.
Just like everything else in the
left.
Movie. And then
that
got up and left.
That would make sense. He stole her Jeep. He stole her room.
See?
He also stole her lunch.
Yeah. You like that?
That makes perfect sense.
But he does dance with her, and he dances all night.
In the ocean.
In the ocean.
Sweat, yeah, that was a very long dance sequence. Literally, started in the day, and then at night. So how many hours would they think they'd been dancing for? I mean, that was like midday, right?
Lunch? Six, yeah.
So like, when does it get dark? We'll say 7, 8 o'clock?
Dude, when you eat that much watermelon, you got so much energy.
Yeah,
you got to get it out somehow.
Well, I think we just got to start eating watermelon, guys.
That's the answer.
I already do eat watermelon.
Oh my God!
When all we do is dance.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? But speaking of the dancing thing, they were dancing in water without shoes on, and that was the problem I had with this movie. Is these men are always constantly running around this jungle without shirts on and stuff, and they're like rolling around in the jungle.
Are you concerned about the ticks?
Ticks and bugs and all kinds of shit would be on you, right?
Mosquitoes.
This is not a parasite episode, Chris.
Oh, it just freaks me out.
I actually
don't know if ticks grow in the jungle.
They might not, but you know they have those parasites that go right up the pee hole and tapeworms, all kinds of shit Rebecca told us about last week.
Yeah. You're still having nightmares about that?
Oh my God, it's disgusting.
They were wearing pants, though. They just weren't wearing shirts.
It doesn't matter. They go
those
up the nipple holes
nipple.
And stuff. Yeah, can't you get inside a nipple? That's a hole, right?
Oh my God.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
If a baby can drink out of a nipple, then there's definitely a hole somewhere inside.
Yeah, but not your
nipple.
Not
on a man's,
this is
though.
Ridiculous.
What do you mean? What is that? What's different? My nipples are sealed? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
What are you guys trying to stick in nipples?
You don't know nothing about me.
Apparently not.
All right.
Yeah, that whole angle of the corporation was really heavy-handed. Like, on the boat, there's a lighter, and then he looks over, and then all of a sudden, there's this stockpile of, like, the corporation's, like, stuff on the boat.
Yeah, what did they sell? Because, besides the lighter, what were they selling?
I don't know. Drugs? I mean,
was
like,
it?
Yeah, they're, like, making drugs, and, like, my
like
whole thing is, like...
Or?
He meets that guy on the boat. They become buddies instantly. And he invites them to, like, this secret fight
exhibition.
On the corporation grounds.
Tiny, what's his name?
Tiny Lester?
Yeah.
Tiny Lester, actor. Yeah, he meets him on that boat. He's also, like, a big, muscly man.
They become friends. And he
quickly become friends.
Invites him. Which was weird to me. To
the secret battle arena.
Yes, which was located inside the corporate grounds. Like,
yeah, and that leads to the scene where Roddy has to climb over the barbed wire fence. He doesn't think twice. He's like, the sign says no admittance. People will be shot if you enter here. And he's like, okay. And he just climbs over and walks through this field, stumbles upon the arena battle, and roots for his friend Tiny Lester.
That was ridiculous. Like, that was terrible writing.
Well, that was like... That sums up this movie. Like, that scene. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Everything, the way they got from point A to point B to point C
it's
was
bad.
Just complete nonsense. But the journey along the way
is pretty
super
fun.
Entertaining.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's why I like this movie.
Yeah.
Great fight
scene.
So,
Roddy is a splunke.
Oh, God, no.
Can somebody tell me what a schmonke is?
No, I have no idea. They kept saying it over and over again.
Is that just a racist term for a white person?
Maybe if you're an islander, it is.
It was one of the high priests in the in the native Lang religion who developed the formula for the immortal warriors.
Did you notice during the fight scenes the bone popping noises?
That's my favorite part.
Anyone else notice that?
Interesting.
No.
Like, do one like, for me.
Well, it just was like.
Are you sure it wasn't the music behind?
I didn't notice that. I noticed like normal fight noises, like but I didn't.
Yeah,
notice
but I thought
any.
That was Todd's GoPro making some noise. So I didn't realize that that was supposed to be bones popping.
I thought it was. I thought I heard some serious bone popping.
There were some. There were some shoulder dislocations.
There were some moments where I think someone was tapping along with the melody of the music. On their desk, and,
the fights?
And you can pick it up. Yeah,
yeah. There was definitely somebody bebopping and scatting on their side of the microphone.
Maybe that's what you heard. I don't know.
Bebop, scat.
I did like that. They worked very hard not to use any weapons in this movie, and whenever possible, go right into a fight, which was pretty cool. I like that a lot.
The same thing could be said for dialogue too.
I think I could have used a gunfight though too. I did appreciate that it was mostly hand to hand.
There were a couple gun moments. I mean, you had that one at the beginning when Roddy was explaining it to the chief, which we didn't really talk about, but I love how they're trying to explain it to the chief and then showing what really is going on. That was funny.
Yeah, it's like a flashback sequence to them going to this rich party and how they get involved
murdering
this,
everybody.
This arena fight. And it constantly cuts back to the police chief and them in their office. And I think I said it was like, it reminded me of like the way Ghosts of Mars is, because it was like a whole flashback thing and that's how, and they're narrating the whole time. But did you guys notice in that police chief's office what he had hanging up?
No, what did he have hanging up?
It was just like these huge, and I'm thinking fucking huge ass pictures of helicopters.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
It didn't look like a police chief's office. To me, it looked like an FBI office because he had that big like star behind him and the flags, and it was like very upscale to what I would think a
police
chief.
The walls were blue and...
It felt like he was in the Pentagon or something like that to me. I don't know. It's weird.
I was kind of disappointed because they had that third character that was involved in that scene.
Yeah.
But he never comes back in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
He was like the impartial witness to what happened. And he was basically saying like, oh, I just watched some stuff. And then it cuts to him like beating the shit out of some guy.
That was pretty funny.
But he never comes back into the movie.
Yeah, that's another thing I don't think had to be there. Because they were setting it up like he was going to be a recurring character, and he really wasn't.
Yeah,
he was just a whatever they said, like a third party.
A schplonke.
I wouldn't say there was no weapons, by the way. Somebody just said that. There were no firearms, but there were quite a few weapons in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There was firearms,
there was
too, though.
Firefights.
Yeah, there's very few firearms. I agree with that. But there was, like, swords and staves and throwing stars and little bomb things and... those spear, whatever, staves that have swords on the end. Pretty sweet.
I think they're called spears.
Spears. I like spear staves. That's good.
Oh, you keep going, Chris. I'll find the actual name.
No, you're fine. Well, yeah, okay. So do you guys think the movie would be better if they had cut some of that sequence with, you know, that other guy they introduced? And
I love that whole sequence.
Okay, well then, do you think it would have been better if they just would have cut the subplot of JJ and his daughter and all that?
Definitely. Yeah.
Well,
that
unless it was going to be a reason for it being in the film, like to reciprocate back in, but it never did. It's just bad writing.
Yeah, I think that could have been cut out, and I'm not saying the beginning you cut the whole thing out. I'm just saying there's no reason to have that other guy there. There's no reason that Roddy can't just narrate what happened and why his partner... Or why that police girl got dead by himself. The other guy really didn't play a part.
I would have went a different route. I would have got rid of all this sci-fi BS about immortals and kept it more of the buddy comedy that is like buddy cop comedy that it started out as.
Oh, yeah, no. That whole army soldier thing is just being so played, especially on Bad Movie Night. Like every single plot line has been that for us. It's like past couple weeks.
What in the fuck are you talking about? When? Give me an example.
Parasite, they wanted to create a super army soldier race. And was
they did?
Before that, they wanted
did
to do
they?
That.
No, I don't remember did that.
I thought they wanted to on Parasite. No, maybe think of the movie that we watched before that.
Maybe you're right.
That was that one with the replicator.
Yeah.
Replicators.
I mean,
yeah,
we've
right.
watched a bunch of movies where that is commonly the plot.
Oh, yeah. But I thought that's more of like a sci-fi
exactly.
thing. Like, I thought this would have been cool if it was more fantasy and you would have had like mythical, like Asian kind
spiritual,
of stuff.
More spiritual stuff. Because there was that one yeah. girl on the island that I thought was going to come back as like a spiritual guide.
Yeah, she was a really small yeah. part.
And they played that a little bit, but they kind of let it hang. There wasn't a lot of that.
You're talking in. About the sorceress lady.
Sure.
Who gives them the drink while they're all around the fire.
Yeah, and she gives him the medallion when he first gets yes. to the hotel, when he's looking at the mural, and I thought that was all going to tie into him being like a mythos for like the island and what this was going to come around to be. He was like, you know, going to be like the savior or the dragon.
Well, he is, she did dub him the Splunky. We just don't know what that means. So maybe you're right. Maybe he is. I don't know.
But that could have been played into more. Like, there could have been more understanding to it if that
yeah.
was going to be an angle.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time for a game. Yeah, let's play Splunky. Is this a Splunky or is this not a Splunky?
Splunky!
Is this an Asian American or not an Asian American?
Actually, we're going to do some wrestling moves.
Is this comment racist or not?
Is it the black guy or the Asian guy?
I think if you have to ask, your comment is racist.
We may have hit some new lows here because we brought up so much racism, eugenics.
Well, it's a good thing there wasn't a dwarf in this movie.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started. I love those little bastards.
Oh no.
All right.
Man. What's this game called again?
This is a quiz about wrestling moves. I figure since this is
sweet.
Our second Roddy Piper movie, we need to talk a little bit about his origins here.
His illustrious wrestling career.
Yeah.
Dude, he had a pretty long wrestling career, didn't he?
That's a good question.
That might be a question.
This isn't just about him. This is about wrestling moves.
Cool. Oh, I so, got this.
Yeah. It is multiple choice. Which of these moves involve a wrestler jumping forward and landing stomach first on an opponent? Is it A, the big splash, B, body avalanche, or C, crossbody?
Crossbody.
I'm going to say crossbody.
C.
It is A, the big splash.
I said A, I'm going with A.
The big splash, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's
a terrible name for a move.
I probably never hear it. You just like got rid of it eventually.
Sounds like a gambling movie name or something.
It sounds it's like supposed to be like,
yeah,
there,
we'll put
like,
too much fiber.
I'll put you in the big splash, see?
Can we insult some more people?
How is that insulting?
That's I don't know. It's just,
like how they talk in the 20s.
How they talk. Listen to this guy. What's this?
The big splash. God. It just sounds so wrong, the big splash.
We got this.
All right,
we got
sorry.
This new guy at work, and he talks like that. He's like, this is the World Series, 1930, see? So every time I talk to him, I automatically go into that voice.
That's awesome.
And people come in and stare at me in my office because they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And I can't help it. You'll be swimming with the fishes, see?
See, that's
take me live,
that's
see?
Like ageism. That's not racism.
Wow. That's not it. That's fine then.
All right, question two. During a Bronco Buster move, what part of the opponent's body is bounced on? Their hips, their chest, or their head?
Well, hips don't lie.
I'm going to say head.
That sounds like a sex move, Chris.
I'm going on with hips.
Shakira?
I'm going to say chest. Yeah.
Head? Was that a choice?
Yep. It is their chest that is bounced upon.
Seems not good.
I'm doing terribly.
I thought you watched wrestling.
I did.
The overhead chop is also known as all of these except which one? A, the brain chop, B, the tomahawk chop, or C, the Mongolian chop.
Oh my god.
Tomahawk chop.
Tomahawk, because that's baseball.
Tomahawk, because everyone else said tomahawk. Man, I don't know anything about wrestling. I never watched wrestling.
Yeah, I'm striking out on these. I'll say the first one, A.
You never watched wrestling?
Nope.
What?
What'd you watch?
When did you watch wrestling? When did people watch wrestling? Like
mid-90s?
Mid-90s, or I was like 10.
Early 90s?
Yeah, Chris, I didn't watch it. You wouldn't have watched it.
Too busy wrestling with your uncle, right?
We were wrestling with my creepy uncle.
In the garage.
In the attic.
Correct answer, no one is right. That was Mongolian chop.
Fuck's
sake. Yeah.
Yeah, I should have known that. The Mongols never chopped. They just fucking shot arrows and they didn't bother with those.
What?
The Mongols were ridiculous. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Are you being racist again?
No. You know, being historical. You're like...
Oh, God. Make it stop.
Who developed the cactus clothesline? Was it A, The Undertaker, B, Mick Foley, or C, Hulk Hogan?
I'm going to say Mick Foley.
Mick Foley,
yeah,
definitely.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Spiv sounds really sure. I'll agree with him.
He's been wrong every other time.
Going Hulk Hogan.
I'm going Mick Fleury as well.
Everyone but Chris gets that one because it was Mick Foley.
Mm.
It actually knocks both of the wrestlers out of the ring when done correctly.
That's nice. Something Mick Foley would do.
That sounds pretty dumb.
That was his character, yeah.
What part of an attacking wrestler's body is used to face wash their opponent? Is it A, their butt, B, their foot, or C,
face
their hair?
Wash.
I'm going to say
definitely the
genitals, for sure.
I just know the hockey move
here. Try hair, too.
It is their foot.
Fuck.
They use their
I didn't get a single one right. I need to bone up on my wrestling.
What makes the heart punch special? Is it A, the attacker makes the heart shape with their hands while delivering the blow? B, it's supposed to hit the pressure point to cause the heart to stop momentarily? Or C, it should leave a heart-shaped bruise if done correctly?
I'm pretty sure it's B.
I would like to say the two of those that are fake answers, those are pretty good answers regardless. Because I'm just imagining Justin Bieber like punching someone in the face with his
Oh, man.
I'm gonna
Justin
say
Justin Bieber doesn't punch anyone in the face. He has a million bodyguards to do that.
I'm gonna say C.
I'm gonna say B.
Correct response. It hits the pressure point to make your heart stop momentarily.
Oh my god. So how many people did they kill doing that?
None, because it's a fake thing.
Was that
none
because
they're
fake people.
They're all high on cocaine when it's happening.
Was that Bret Hart?
Bret Favre.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
He was good.
He was.
No, it was heart punch because it's supposed like it hits the heart. It's supposed to go.
Yeah,
right
he's
the
talking
hits.
About the one of them that died.
Oh, somebody died?
The one of them.
Was he? No, he wasn't the one who died.
Was yeah, it? He fell from the ceiling.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah, wait, like during a match?
No, they were rehearsing, and he was like on a rope suspension thing around him, and it like gave way, and he fell and died.
Oh, Jesus.
No, that wasn't Bret Hart, no.
It wasn't?
He's
I thought it was
alive.
One of the Harts. Well, there's two of them.
It was Owen Hart, wasn't
Owen
it?
Hart. That's
the
it.
The band Hart?
Two of them.
Yeah, Owen
used
Hart
used to be
did.
Two of
yeah.
them. See, it's Barracuda? Been a long time.
Was that his final words, Chris?
Barracuda! Barracuda! Sorry, continue.
Let's see. Which move was popularized by the wrestler Rikishi? Was it A, the stink face, B, the turnbuckle thrust, or C, the guitar shot?
Thrusting.
I'm all about that turnbuckle thrust, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm going to say the turnbuckle thrust.
Yeah.
Finish him.
I'm going to go with that too.
Turnbuckle thrust.
Todd?
That sounds good. I'll have that.
It was actually the stink face. He would rub his butt in the opponent's face.
Oh, what a child.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
What color is most commonly used for an Asian mist?
Ooh, this sounds very racist. Oh,
this sounds very racist.
This is going to be yellow.
Is it A, green, B, yellow, or C, blue?
I'm going to go blue. I don't think they would do that.
I'm going to go blue because I don't want to sound racist right now.
That's all right.
I'm going to say yellow. I'm saying yellow because it's wrestling.
What the hell is an Asian mist? It sounds like somebody being pissed off.
Could be a mixed drink.
It was green, which it causes, like, the Asian mist, it's apparently illegal, but they have something in their hand and they, like, blow it at the opponent's face. But the green one is the most commonly used, and that causes temporary blindness. Yellow causes paralysis. B puts the wrestler to sleep. I think black was blindness, but it's more likely permanent. And there was one other. Oh, red. It burns instead of blinds.
But this is all fake, right? Because it's wrestling?
I don't know.
Oh my God. This is based on true facts.
Oh, man.
All right, last one. Which of these moves is not considered illegal? A, the testicular claw. B, B, the eye rake. Or C, the shining wizard.
What? They're the also...
The shining wizard?
They're all like...
That sounds like real.
Yeah, I'm going with the shining wizard.
Testicular claw.
They all sound so bad.
They all sound like sex toys. Yeah, like, what the hell?
Oh, what about the testicular claw being a sex toy?
Maybe.
I guess
maybe
it depends what you're into.
Maybe you're just not doing it right, Chris. Did you read the instructions?
It just be not my thing, I guess.
You got to be a little more adventurous, man.
Ugh.
Correct answer for that one is the shining wizard is a legal move.
Okay, I figured.
But the other two are not.
Okay. All right.
So there you go.
That was something about wrestling moves.
Wrestling with Roddy.
Roddy. I don't have too much else to talk about for this movie, but I did want to. I wanted to bring up the music because I thought there was some really cool music in this movie, especially during the credit sequence at the opening. Where it sounded like music from the PlayStation Castlevania Symphony of the Night game, which has amazing music. And then other times it sounded like Weekend at Bernie's, I think AJ said that.
Yeah, when they got to the hotel, it was very Weekend at Bernie's ass. Yeah. It was very, like, cheesy. But then sometimes you had some sweet guitar riffs and stuff. Well, it sounded like John Carpenter.
Whenever Roddy punched somebody, those metal guitar riffs would come out for a second in the background.
As they should.
Well, I looked up the composer. This is the only movie he ever composed.
Yeah.
He burnt out on this one.
He sold his Casio keyboard after he got done composing this one.
Dropped it off at Goodwill and moved on.
He used up all his ideas. Quit on
this
top.
This is opus, magnum opus.
It's a shame.
Anything else?
Can we talk about one line or lines? Good lines. Anybody else write down any good ones?
Where'd he go, eh?
No, I did not. What do you got?
I like when. I think it was at the ruins after he killed the bodyguards. Because I guess while they were like mock fighting, she said she was going to eat him for lunch. And then he said, exactly what part of my body were you going to have for lunch? And she said, I need a full meal, not a snack.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, man.
Forgot about that. That was amazing.
That is pretty good. All right.
What did you guys think about the end of the movie with the flame moment?
Oh man!
Because apparently one of the only ways you can kill these super soldiers is by, like, what was it? Lighting them on fire or chopping their head off?
Right.
That's what we learned. So
what exactly happens at the end?
So they're vampires?
Yeah, they're in this confrontation with the super soldier, and Roddy lights him on fire by pouring gasoline on him, and then he gets a trail from the fire that happened to be on the ground already in the fire pit. And like
I didn't. Yeah,
the
only way
he had to actually say something about gasoline, because they would have never known that it was gasoline.
Yeah, they had to overdub that line because he was just going along and like, oh, this gasoline, but it was just like a bucket. It looked like a bucket of water just sitting there.
Yeah, and where did he pick it up from? Literally right next to the fire. Like, I'm going to keep my gasoline in a bucket, where am I going to put it? Right next to the campfire.
Keep the story moving, you know. My favorite part is the guy's on fire and he runs towards the other lady and grabs her for some reason.
Takes her into that hut.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what they do in there.
Did we really talk about that guy?
No, he was crazy. Oh,
not at all. God. Man bun?
Yeah. The guy
from
Bret Michaels?
Yeah, he had a man bun. He would jump around all over the place and like crouch. I think he was really kind of going for that old like kung fu movie craziness.
I think he was just so excited to be in a movie. Yeah. He was just like spouting out all kinds of ridiculous lines.
They paid him in cocaine for sure.
Seriously, sure. He was so excited to be on this movie.
All I could think of was the dropping loads guy, but doing kung fu. Like, it was just so wrong, so messed up. Ugh.
Yeah, I actually, based on this movie, looked up a bunch of other movies he's in because I'm kind of interested in watching some of the other stuff. He was so ridiculous and over the top.
What was his actor's name? Do you know?
I don't remember.
You looked him up and you don't remember.
I didn't get that far.
Art Barr, right?
All right, Scott, would you recommend a Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I'd give it a solid like 7 out of 10. Worth watching.
Okay. AJ?
Yeah, it was fun. It was kind of a mixed bag, as we said. Like, but I think if it would have kept to that buddy thing and the more the comedy kung fu angle, I would have liked it even more. But I had a great time. Wasn't bored at any moment. And you know, Roddy's so good on screen. Like, how could you not enjoy this?
Yep. He looked like he was a 13-year-old who just got his hair cut. The dumbest haircut I've ever seen.
You had like that Bill Paxton haircut going at times.
Sort of. He just looked goofy, though. Aaron?
Yeah, I'd say if you like just nonstop action movies with no plot, you'll like this. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. I didn't really find anything too negative about it. It's really goofy. Not serious at all, but I think it's good that it doesn't take itself seriously.
Todd?
I was pretty so-so in the movie from the beginning, but I mean, it's the Bad Movie Podcast. And usually if I say no, I'm not going to recommend it. I have like a solid reason to say no. I'm going to default to yes. I would recommend it, but I was kind of so-so from the beginning. So I would say if you like bad action movies with little plot and a lot of action, though, you'll like this.
Rebecca?
I'm going to say yes. I don't think it was quite as good as Back in Action, but I still thought it was a lot of fun, had some good lines.
Do we at least agree on that it wasn't as good as Back in Action?
Yeah, maybe Billy Blanks.
Well,
but I disagree. I disagree with your thing. Everyone's saying no. There's no plot. To me, the plot was so convoluted; it was a distraction from the movie. It like Back in Action and Commando and stuff like that. The plot is so simple.
Yeah.
And you already know it from like 5 minutes into the movie, and then the action sequences and stuff take you through this basic plot.
Right.
But in this, there was just nonstop action sequences while they were introducing plot points that just never went anywhere, and it just became so convoluted and confusing that at the end of it, I just didn't even understand what happened. Like, I can understand in Commando, they kidnap his daughter and he needs to kill a million people to save his daughter. In this, I don't understand, like, what happened. Like, there was this company that was making super soldiers and he had to go over there and his partner's daughter was going to give him his gun that because he killed his wife. And there's this reporter who wants to take pictures of something. And it's like, what
There were those finer points in Back in Action, too. You just didn't give a shit about any of them. I think you gave a shit too much about the finer points in this one. None of that extra stuff mattered. I think the basic plot in this one was pretty simple, too.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the we said, the unconventional plot, the way it was told, I guess.
I would agree with that.
There's a lot of just stumbling onto stuff to keep the story progressing. Like, oh, this can of gasoline. Oh, this is the secret entrance to this place. Oh, you weren't supposed to take photos of that thing. Like, it's like, okay. Keep it going.
But all that being said, it's still fun. It's still a lot more fun than, like, Parasite, like we just watched last week. And this was just because the ridiculous fight scenes and Roddy's quips and other stuff happens. It's just all fun and cheesy and entertaining. So I would recommend it.
I actually liked every single thing we've seen of Roddy so far.
Oh, yeah. Roddy.
Can't go wrong. Yeah.
Even Sci-Fighters, I thought was pretty good.
Which was the one with all the religious undertones?
Okay,
Shepherd.
That was bad.
But he was barely.
Barely in it.
But all the scenes he was in were great.
That's true.
Thomas C. Howell brought that movie down with his women voice. I'm Thomas C.
What was he trying to do there?
I don't know.
You think the director pushed that on him? I don't know. It's bad.
All right. So that'll do it for Back in Action 2. What the hell is this called?
Immortal Kombat.
Jesus Christ.
Immortal Kombat.
Next week, we're going to watch Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. Because Scott really wants to watch that. It's about...
You know,
oh my god, what is this shit? Anyways, we'll figure it out. Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone from 1983. It'll be
Adventures
fun. Ernie Hudson's in it. It's a semicolon. Did I say colon?
Yes, you said Adventures in the Colon.
Sorry, I was reading the title of this movie.
I was like, I don't think I want to participate next week. So, it's like a colonoscopy video or something. What's going on here?
Bad Movie Night. If you like what you heard, go to iTunes.com/review us and leave us a review. Let us know your favorite Roddy Piper movie. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, and check out our video show. We just dropped an episode on
Parasite,
Creatures from the Abyss. A video episode, and we have another video episode coming out soon on Rats, Night of Terror.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That movie.
So, until next week,
don't take a vacation with Roddy Piper. What we should do? We should talk about, we forgot to talk about the tiki
Splunky
shirts. Man. We didn't talk about any of the tiki shirts and how good Roddy looked in them. We missed that whole point.
Yep, we're not going to talk about that, so we'll see you next week.
Rob.
All right, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. If you have any questions or recommendations, send us an email at info@badmovienightpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. You must be crazy. Man, I've seen some bad films. Man, I've seen some bad films. When I say bad, I didn't watch them all the way through. If I had, I'd be crazy by now.
At JCPenney, we make fashion count for everybody and everybody. Get pieces that fit and flatter at prices that feel good. Mix easy on cargos with breezy tops or polish your look with soft suiting. Step into JCPenney brands that get you, like St. John's Bay and Worthington, each in women's petite and plus sizes too. Guys, you're good to go in brands like Mutual Weave, J. Farrar, and Stafford. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.